We're joined now by the esteemed political consultant, George Calhoun Kennedy. He's been doing his thing for well over 30 years, and through the years has represented candidates from all sides of the political spectrum, and he is here primarily as an authority. I consider George an expert on American and Louisiana politics. And George, as we stand less than 24 hours before the voting booths open, what do you think?
Jim, I texted, first of all, I have a question. Can you still bench press your weight?
Of course.
Well, no, I knew it. See, I texted a very prominent Republican pollster, good friend last night, national guy, all that, and said, what's going to happen? Text comes back one word. He said, insanity.
Well, I saw today that Nordstrom has made a decision. This is unbelievable. They've got 300 stores across the country. They've made a decision to board up every store because they're afraid of violence in the streets as a result of the presidential election. Have we gotten to that point, George?
Oh, indeed. I mean, we're afraid of it. But I'm going to go out on a limb here after we talk through all this, and I've got some interesting statistics for you. I know that you're the king of that. I think this thing's going to be a lot about nothing. I think that we're going to have a clear victor, and we'll still have a few more votes to count, but it'll be clear that they won't affect the outcome. And I think we're going to end up having an American transition. I think it's going to be better than everybody thinks.
Let's hope so. But when you say a clear victor, are you saying which one will be the clear victor?
Yes, one or the other. I think there will be. I think Trump is either going to pull off another big surprise, or there'll be enough votes for Biden in the Electoral College, particularly, for it to be clear that no matter what happens going forward, he's got the number to win.
All right. Well, Biden's going to win the vote. That's a given.
Democrats have won the popular vote 7 of the 8 last times in elections.
Well, yeah, they've only lost the vote one time, and that was in 2004. And in that case,
here's some interesting stuff based upon Nate Silver's model. If Biden wins the popular vote 6 to 7 points, the odds are 99% that he wins the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is where it gets very confusing for people. But if Biden wins the popular vote by 2 to 3 points, his chance of winning the Electoral College drops to 41%. If Biden wins by 1 or 2 points in the popular vote, okay, his chance of winning the Electoral College is 23%. So he needs a very big buffer. I think the last overnight tracking had him at 10 points up nationally. Okay. But that's not really the whole story. And that's what confuses things a lot, particularly with what we're going through now, you know, early ballots. As of Sunday, more than two-thirds of the total vote cast in 2016 had been cast early. 93 million as of Sunday, 136 million total in 2016.
All right, so it's up to 93 million, yeah. So, right. So the hay is already in the barn in many cases, and we have to look at polls as they were a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when people started voting early.
I'm certain they have proprietary exit surveys. The problem there is that every so often pollsters have to rediscover that people lie to them about what they've done. So I wouldn't place a lot of confidence in them.
Well,
apparently more Democrats than Republicans have voted early.
Well, for all of those, George, who complained about the polls being wrong 4 years ago, I was looking 3 days out 4 years ago. The polls, the aggregation of them, had Clinton ahead by 3.9 points in the overall vote. She won by 2.1. So they were off by 1.8%. But what I was going to say is that if you go back to 2012, 3 days out, the polls had Obama up by 0.3%, and he ended up winning by 3.6%. 3.9%. So there was double the difference for 8 years ago as there was 4 years ago. The polls were actually more wrong in 2012 than they were in 2016. They just weren't wrong about the winner. And this time, if the polls are wrong about Biden, then I don't know if we're going to ever trust a poll again, because based on all conventional, rational views of this, Joseph Biden should win the election tomorrow.
Well, one of the big things that people don't deal with, the polling and the math and all that stuff all the time, is that polls are seldom wrong, done by prominent, you know, purposeful mathematicians. I mean, I like to tell my clients, if you don't believe in polls, next time you go to the doctor, ask him to take all your blood. You don't believe in sampling. You don't believe in polls. I mean, but people want a definitive answer, and that's almost impossible to do.
All right.
So I think that it's going to be an interesting night.
George Kennedy, the seasoned political consultant, is with us, lives in Baton Rouge, native of Zachary, brother of a U.S. Senator. 877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. George Kennedy, the veteran political consultant, is with us. And if you'd like to send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Let's go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Phil.
Good morning. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, George. They revealing my age, but this reminds me of the riot in 1968 at the Democratic Convention in Chicago. There was a police riot up there, and a lot of paranoia as well, and there's a bunch of that going on right now. And George, I love you, George.
Well, the turnout has been spurred by this. There's no doubt that right now in our country we have division, and George, at least people are energized.
Yeah, but turnout, this is going to come out wrong, so don't think I'm a communist. But for me, turnouts, when they get jumped up, everybody's jacked up and voting, are scary. When they're outside of the norm. Because there's something, always something going on out there you can't put your finger on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I feel today. I mean, I'm looking at this going, you know, gee whiz. You know, that's a lot of voters that are keeping their cards pretty close to the vest on what they're going to, you know, how they're voting. Just because they're registered Democrats don't mean they're voting against the president.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with George Kennedy. Good morning to you.
Morning. Yeah, Mr. Kennedy, could Putin's disinformation campaign for Trump make a difference in enough contested states as it did in 2016?
What about the Putin effect?
You're not seeing as much of it. I'm of the opinion that the real danger is Election Day hacking for all sorts of technical reasons, but our system, our voting machines are in danger. Something has to be done. And I think mischief there is way more likely. Facebook and others have cut back a lot on false news. You know, it's still out there. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's had no effect, but not as much.
Is there one state in particular that Trump needs and Biden needs to win?
Well, Pennsylvania is getting a lot of attention right now. But, I mean, you know, the problem here is that Trump, the president, has to pretty much run the table on the races where he's competitive and then get a couple that are leaning Democrat, like, say, Arizona. Whereas Biden, okay, doesn't have that high a threshold, which is the correlation with what we talked about earlier with the popular vote. I mean, just evens out. And we're talking about not many votes. You know, we're talking about competitive races, 5% margin. Hell, you know, you get 3.5-point margin of error in a poll. See?
Yeah, but James Carville was on the other day, and he said, yeah, you can get 3.5% margin of error, but usually if it's wrong, it's 1 or 2. It's more likely to be off by 1 or 2 points than 3 or 4. So Right now, Biden is he's the favorite, and solidly so. But based on what happened in 2016, I think most people who are supportive of the former vice president are wary, and perhaps for good reason.
Well, again, you know, it's like the Nate Silver model shows. The Democrats need a big cushion because of the electoral column. I mean, when Biden gets down to, like, only winning popular vote from, say, they're calling it 10, say he goes to 3, then he's only got a 20% chance of winning the Electoral College and therefore the presidency.
All right, so he probably has to win by 3 points to win the election. And for every point with the high turnout, it could mean for every point that Biden is ahead, that's 2 million votes. So in order for him to win, he needs to beat Trump in the overall vote by about 6 million votes. And I've noted before that this is the only election in America, the only election where the person who wins the vote can lose the election. Bill Huey writes, according to Joe Scarborough, the Republicans have not won the popular vote for president. They have won it only once in the last 32 years. That is correct. The Electoral College is an anti-democratic anachronism and should be abolished. One person, one vote. That from Bill Huey. What about that? Is that fair, George?
No. I think the Electoral College was a brilliant device. It still is. And I have been saying for some time that an independent, because he's going to be elected president in our lifetime, because the way the Electoral College goes with plurality by state, to which, of course, your friend Buddy Romer and my friend Buddy Romer replied, Kennedy, if you keep saying it, it's bound to come true one day. But still, that's why I like the Electoral College.
The Electoral College is a joke, George Kennedy. It is an absolute joke.
Oh, come on,
joke.
Bob.
It is a joke.
Let's not.
George Calhoun Kennedy, it is a joke. Here we have California, where 1 out of 8 Americans lives, and no presidential candidate has visited California. Give me a break. The Electoral College is an absolute joke.
That's targeted, okay? But,
well,
you know,
they would be visiting Los Angeles and San Francisco and New York City and places like that if there were no Electoral College. They would be visiting New Orleans. But because they're the Electoral College, they only visit a few states. And it is bizarre, it is wrong, and it is un-American.
I disagree, but not enough to argue about it. Because, I don't think that you've got to get 2/3 of the states to pass on that to scrap it. And I don't think those votes are out there.
Well, I'll give you that. And, of course, as long as it affects only one party adversely, it's probably not going to happen. But it almost cost George W. Bush the election in 2004 in a freak. And it's something that needs to go. And we've got this bizarre thing where each state gets 2 U.S. senators. I looked at North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming collectively have half the population of the state of Louisiana. They've got 6 U.S. senators. We have 2. How can that be? They've got 2.3 million people. We've got 4.7 million. They've got 6 U.S. senators between them. We have 2. California has 40 million people. They have 2 U.S. senators. These 3 states have 6 U.S. senators with 2.3 million people. Is that fair? Is that democratic?
Because the founders, as far as I'm concerned, thought of the Senate as a deliberative body and even it out that way. The Congress is where you get real demographic, more representation. The real issue, I think, is gerrymandering. I mean, if you want contested elections, and if you consider that good for America, then we need to do something about it.
Well, yeah, look at the city of Baton Rouge, which is solidly Democratic. The last 8 times to the post, by the way, in major elections in Baton Rouge, the Democrat has won every time. It is a Democratic city with enough people in the parish and surrounding area to have a congressional district of its own, and yet we have a Republican congressman, which is gerrymandering. But the last 8 times, these are the winners in Baton Rouge.
What?
Kip Holden, Barack Obama, Mary Landrieu, John Bel Edwards, Sharon Weston Broome, Foster Campbell, Hillary Clinton, and John Bel Edwards.
I just don't believe it. I don't agree that it's a Republican or a Democratic city. Republicans do absolutely fearlessly well here.
That's because they don't have Democrats running against them, like people like Sid Gautreaux, for example. He doesn't have a real Democrat running against him. But when it comes down to a contested race, like Foster Campbell beat your brother here, beat him like a drum in East Baton Rouge Parish in his hometown. How did that happen?
I don't know, but I love Foster. Well, you know that. He's a former client. And that was a tough race. But I just think that when Republicans message properly, okay, when my clients message properly, they do well. Okay, everybody's got a set of rules. We all just need to play by them, and we'll be fine.
All right, David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, there's a very sophisticated high-speed camera that can actually photograph the virus being excreted by people who test positive. And wearing a mask substantially reduces those viruses released by that person. The President of the United States mocks people wearing a mask and holds rallies where people stand together and not wearing a mask. This president is insane.
All right, let's hear from the president, David, on the campaign trail on Sunday. Here he is talking about the guy who's the biggest advocate of masks, Tony Fauci.
We'd like to talk about COVID, and then next time. Here's what happens. November 4th, you won't hear too much about it. You won't hear too much about it. Don't tell anybody, but let me wait till a little bit after the election.
All right. The president, who has no authority to fire Anthony Fauci, looks like he's going to try to do it, George.
Look, I have to tell you now, I'm divergent here. I'm on Team Fauci, all right? And I think that the president, his troubles began with the continued, with the way he managed the COVID crisis. And that, there was no right way to do it. I mean, it was going to jack with his politics no matter what, but that's the reason he's where he's at right now, in my opinion. And but Fauci, I mean, you know, you got to go with the experts, you know, and I think that he's been right. Other than that, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. We've kind of stopped talking a lot about the masks and the COVID with the election on us, at least I have, but it's worse.
877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines, return to them with George Kennedy after we take a short break. We are doing an Election Eve broadcast as America will likely have an all-time high turnout tomorrow, and whoever wins the presidential election will obviously get more than 270 electoral votes, or at least 270, but Joe Biden will become the biggest vote-getter in the history of our country. We'll talk more. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We're going to try to get to as many of you as possible. George Kennedy, the seasoned political consultant, is with us. And let's go to Alice in Lafayette. Good morning, Alice.
Yes. Hi, Jim.
Hey, I recognize Alice Landry. Good morning to you.
Yes. Yes. Hey. I was wondering, I found it kind of interesting in my own neighborhood. A couple of people got in sort of a big screaming fight about a certain political presidential candidate sign in the neighbor's yard. I was just wondering if George Kennedy recalls this ever happening before, where people are afraid to put their presidential preference in their own yard.
Which sign was it, Alice?
I believe it was Biden-Harris.
Biden-Harris. And, of course, Lafayette is a Republican stronghold, like East Baton Rouge Parish is a Democratic stronghold. George Kennedy fights over yard signs. Have you seen this before?
Yeah, pretty much, but not the way it is right now. Right now, it's taken on a meaning way beyond the politics of things.
All right.
But it's just a big cultural shift going on.
All right, here's Don downtown says your brother, John Kennedy, who's John's about to turn 69, so he's an old man. He's much older than George. But anyway, he has stated, in fact, we've seen this, his stated goal when he graduated first in his class at Zachary High was to be president of the United States. This was in 1969. Is there any chance that we'll see John Neely Kennedy running for president in 4 years?
Well, you never know. It's funny. I was thinking about that just the other day. I remember when he said that. But, you know, I wouldn't think so, but you never know. You never know, Jim. I mean, every person in the United States Senate is on the presidency like a hobo on a ham sandwich. Okay? they all want to be president. So you never say never.
Well, I tell you what, if he does run, I bet he'll get at least one delegate, which is something Bobby Jindal didn't do. And
and
you never know. He could become the first Baton Rouge area guy to become president since Zachary Taylor. So I wouldn't sell your brother short. That guy, he is, if nothing else, tenacious, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He people just, it never surprised me. John was always that way. He gets up every day and he does the next right thing and he never stops. And, you know, if you look at what happened to him in his career coming up, I never thought he would end up in the United States Senate, but he just kept coming.
Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana. Sabash, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Mr. Youngster. Well said for driving some sense into...
I'm sorry? Sabash? Okay, did we... All right, I think we lost him, so... but if you hang on, we'll try to get you to a better place. Let's, while we do that, David in Shenandoah. David, good morning. You're on with George Kennedy. Hi, David.
Good morning, Jim and Mr. Kennedy. I was just curious. I'm going to back the commentary back up a little bit. You know, Trump has stated he would fire Fauci after the election. I guess he's going to fire the Surgeon General, too, since I did see a advertisement from the Surgeon General this morning on local television telling everyone to wear their mask.
All right. Well, the president likes to fire people. We know that. But will the country fire him? George Kennedy, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that Joseph Biden will win the election tomorrow.
Well, as a man who's a big fan of the math polling, I'd have to say you're right. But the message here for me today is, and I'm really trying to be objective as I can.
Well, the math has nothing to do with politics.
Over.
No, it's not over. It's not over, but...
I mean, Trump's had a hard time messaging his second term or his last 2 months. But, I mean, the Zavier scenario is always going to be a contested election. But like I said at the beginning of the show, I think it's going to surprise everybody. I think we're going to have a winner, and I think it's going to be more peaceful than you think.
All right, here's a question from Tom on Blue Bonnet about your former client, Bill Cassidy. Is he going to win without a runoff, or will he be forced into a runoff with Adrian Perkins? What do you think?
My instinct is yes. I don't have any fresh information on it. It really will depend on the battle of the turnout operations. If Bill has a good turnout operation, he'll go in. If the Democrats have a good turnout operation and Bill's kind of laying back, there could be a runoff, but it won't. Cassidy's still going to be reelected United States Senator.
Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana. Sabash, let's give you another shot. You're on with George.
Good morning, Mr. Youngster. Thanks for trying to drill some sense into people who don't understand what is democracy. Democracy means a single person's vote, not state. So this ridiculous thing called Electoral College is totally anti-democratic. People who don't understand their own history and the world history keep talking about how great is this Electoral College. The second thing, what kind of voters would you think, people who shout, fire Fauci, lock her up? I mean, if it were democratic voters, I would rather lose than get those kind of voters.
All right. You're getting to pretty close to the basket of deplorable territory that Hillary Clinton got to. And they're good people on both sides. And I think as Americans, we should really consider that. But unfortunately, George, we've had guests on this show, and I'll ask them about, usually from the Republican side, ask them about Obama and Clinton and Biden, and they say the most vicious things, and then you ask them about Vladimir Putin, and they won't say anything bad about a true enemy of the country. What, where have we gone as a people?
That's a very good, that's an insightful observation, and I don't have a real answer for that. It's like we've almost got our weather vane to determine patriotism broken. And I don't think it's going to last, but I don't have an answer for that. It's troubling.
Well, another question from a listener about where we are as a country. Here we are on election eve, and we're talking about Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and we've got a 77-year-old guy running against a 74-year-old guy. And
hey, man, better living through chemistry.
But should people of that age be president? We have an age limit on the front end at 35. Why do we have that? If you can be 95 and be elected, but you can't be 34 and be elected president. Jordan Piazza could not be elected president of the United States. That's wrong, George.
And depending on how you look at it, that's either a good or bad thing. But you know, you have to have a certain amount of maturity, and 35 is a
Well,
I think that's a solid number.
Okay, well, we lost Sean Connery over the weekend, 90 years old.
We did.
And you and I are of a vintage where there was a man. There was.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
in Louisiana, we give.
Universe.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think he was a former Mr. Universe, wasn't he?
I don't think so, but he was a bodybuilder, yep. And he was smooth, and he was James Bond. Nobody ever filled the bill. Of the seven films he did as Bond, collectively they were made for $67 million, and they grossed $800 million. So he did pretty well. What was your favorite?
Oh, whichever, the last one I watched, you know. I mean, I'm at an age, too, where my memory's shot, you know. I mean, but I do believe just big picture, that he was the best Bond.
Well, it started with
Dr.
No.
I mean, Dr. No.
1962.
And he defined the role.
From Russia.
But now they have
Love,
to re-up the role.
Goldfinger, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, Diamonds Are Forever, Never Say Never Again. That was Sean Connery. Quickly,
the only
Max.
The thing I never really liked about Bond was he kept using that little PPK gun, that little tiny gun. I always thought they should have gotten a man a real firearm if he was going to use it.
George is a Second Amendment enthusiast. Max in Prairieville, you got to be brief, but you're on the air. You'll be our final caller today. Hi, Max.
Hello there. I find it a little ironic talking about Sean Connery and the movie From Russia with Love right after the comments about the feelings towards Russia and Vladimir Putin by the man at the top, but every time a Trump enabler acknowledges it, I don't know the answer. I can't understand why we have this influence from Russia and nobody seems to know what to do about it. We know what the problem is. It's the man at the top.
All right. Well, thank you, Max. You'll get the final word today. And while we were talking, our producer, Matt Doyle, has pulled up. This was 24-year-old Tom Jones, a guy who was appropriately singing one of the theme songs for a Bond film, Thunderball, 1965, when George Calhoun Kennedy was 10 and I was 7. Here he is. George, thanks. Always a pleasure.
She always runs while others walk.
Thunderball, 1965, made for $9 million. It grossed $141 million. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for Talk Louisiana. Back on Election Day, stay safe and stay tuned.